This is The Different Football Show. Are you serious? On FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, people, welcome back to Are You Serious? This is the World Cup edition. Myself and Kim are away in the States, so this is going to be a little bit of a rough and ready sort of show. I am in an alleyway of a sports bar watching just down there the Ivory Coast versus... Who is playing? I should know this. Ivory Coast versus... I should know this. It's Ivory Coast are playing right
Ecuador.
Now.
Ecuador.
Ecuador in Cape. Well done.
Thank you, Kim's in.
Quickly, tell me, where are you? Where are you right now? What part of America?
This unbelievable view. I'm on the 25th floor of an Airbnb in Dallas. I've been traveling all day. And I've just got here now.
Oh, I love Dallas. I love Dallas.
It's sick. America's just different gravy. Everything's like 10 times bigger than it should be. Everyone drives these massive pickup trucks for no reason. They don't pick anything up in them.
Well, in Dallas, they say, well, in Texas, they say everything is bigger. And you're there. Like, for me, I've been to the NRG, incredible. I've been to the AT&T, incredible. And yeah, you've got a lot of big games over in the area that you're staying. I'm currently in San Francisco. Just seen the Golden Gate Bridge. I just seen Alcaraz as well. I've just seen on Call of Duty, there's a map that is based off Alcaraz. Literally, you can swim across the water, but it's a bit mad. But I've seen obviously a lot of football. I've seen a lot of football. I've seen my first World Cup game ever live. That was quite interesting.
Who was the game?
It was Qatar versus
Switzerland.
I should know this as well. Versus
Switzerland.
Qatar. There you go. Yes, they drew 1-1 versus Switzerland.
You're the worst football journalist in the world. You don't know what game you're watching now.
I'm in an alleyway trying to remember. I've watched every World Cup game so far. I've had eyes on every World Cup game. So a lot of them are just blurring right now. A lot of draws, but a lot of them are just blurring right now.
That's fair. That's so fair. I was at my first World Cup game last night, Scotland against Haiti.
You were there?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
What stadium was that in?
That was at the Gillette Stadium in Boston. So I just flew from Boston to Dallas now.
Oh, you are working, bro. Mate,
I've been getting the content. The content has been gone.
Is this off your own back or is this covered by a broadcaster?
I paid for myself to go out there and I've got a lot of work now whilst I'm here.
I respect that. I'm half the same. Well, I'm out here with I'm actually here with USL. So for people that aren't familiar what USL is, it's MLS is obviously the top league in America. It's the league underneath it. So it's the championship for us in the UK, us football fans, but here it's the USL. So which is equivalent to obviously the championship. So the reason why I'm here is because they want to improve. Well, they want to put more eyes on the clubs in the USL. So for me, I'm going to the clubs and they're hosting watch parties for the World Cup. So I'm going to these clubs, these really like cultural, community-based, lower-level teams and putting eyes on their club and the watch parties around the World Cup to put... Yeah, we're doing content around it. It's been amazing. We went to Oakland Roots, which I think people, if you Google it, it's a really rich in culture club. They gave me a nice kit. They got a really nice crest on there. It's like a tree with the roots underneath, and it's got a lot of significance, especially in the Oakland area, of course, and in near San Jose in California. So it's been really amazing. I got to meet the principal basically of the club, and it's been really really good, Kim. I can't lie. They got a beautiful stadium. They got really lovely people in the community around it. A lot of Arsenal fans as well in Oakland, which was quite a nice. Warm feeling, a lot of champions being chanted, which is nice, which you know you can imagine. So yeah, I'm doing that. I'm going to Detroit tomorrow, and then I've got to go to New York, but in Brooklyn on Friday. So it's been amazing so far. Also, just quickly, I know this is Are You Serious? I know this is a football based show, but like you, I'm also doing work outside of who I've been booked for to come here to do. And I did an E1. Watch along, an E1 boat race. We can't call it boats, they're called race birds. They're electric boats. And
that sounds amazing.
People like Tom Brady. Say again?
That sounds incredible.
Oh, bro. I was supposed to be in Croatia, Dubrovnik. I was supposed to be there right now. But I chose, obviously, the World Cup. But instead of them booking another presenter or another host to replace me, they said, look, we'd love you to host, but from wherever you are. So I had to get up at 5 a.m. This is the grind. And listen, it's fine. We do this. It's part of the growth. I had to get up at 5 a.m. in Oakland time, while it was about 1 p.m. in Dubrovnik. And I was on my balcony of the hotel, Best Western, by the way. People know about Best Western. They're sponsoring this trip that I'm on, but Best Western are Best Westerns, yeah? I was on my balcony that overlooked a lake, pretending I was in Croatia. And I was speaking to teams that are owned by Tom Brady, LeBron James, Rafa Nadal was there, Will Smith has a team, Didier Drogba has a team, Thibaut Courtois has a team.
That's crazy.
Loads of incredible people, right? And I was there commentating on E1 race in the Dubrovnik, Croatia. It was amazing. And I'm going to Monaco to be live in the flesh to go and host that. So people that are listening are new to VAR, are you serious? Yes, it's a football show, but there's a new sport. I only got incepted. This inception story was in 2020. They only started doing proper professional races from 2024, so 2 years ago. So if there's a sport, if you guys are sports people, which I'm sure you are, go check it out. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. E1 race birds. Really, really, really amazing. And I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
That sounds unreal. So,
yeah, something different. It was amazing.
Let's get into this World Cup stuff, because we spoke last week, didn't we, on our show, and I was like, oh, I'm a bit nervous. I don't know what it's going to be like. Obviously, people always go on about how many problems there are in America and they don't like football, blah, 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 blah. It has been unbelievably good. It is unbelievable. I don't know if people are catching the fever back at home, but the streets of Boston were literally painted blue and white with Scotland fans. The Americans were absolutely loving it. We watched their game as well at a bar with loads of Scotland fans and loads of American fans. Atmosphere was just incredible. There's been no trouble whatsoever. Everyone's embracing it. Everyone's happy to have us here. The stadiums are just mad. The stadium yesterday, the New England Patriots Stadium, is just mad. It's just mental. The vibe is just insane. And I'm so pleased that it's so good. I was nervous that people weren't going to properly be that bothered, or that the Americans hadn't really put on a proper show. It's been incredible.
I told you this. I said, like, before every World Cup, there's obviously a lot of controversy. And of course, like, for me, the main concern was about, like, people hunting you down about visas and stuff. And I just realized the last talk we had actually was in Ethiopia. So I didn't tell you. So when I arrived into America, my guy that I'm with, who's with me, he got questioned like mad. Like, they really stuck it on him. And everything was fine in the end. But like, that was a big concern. And like, can you, because the whole big article came out, like, can you film any content from, if you're not from here? And how risky is that if you're not on a B1 or if you're not on a working visa? So like, there was a bit of obviously nerves and panic and worry. But like you said, once we come in, we got in now. And like you said, it's been absolutely amazing. And do you know what? I want to take this moment to talk with him, because I've never been to a major tournament game, I don't believe. I've done a lot of coverage in fan parks and watch parties and been around areas of it. And I said to myself, like, when we got offered the tickets for Qatar, Switzerland, I was like, I have to take it. It's not something that's a big game. It's not a major. It's not something that everyone's going to be talking about. But like you said, Kim, I went to that game. I stepped out of the taxi and I said, oh my Lord, what is this? Everyone's coming together. We're all here to support football. There's not just Qataris and Switzerlands. There was people in every nation's tops. There was people in club tops from all over the world. And I said, this is actually beautiful. There's kids in club colours. There's kids in national colours. There's people singing songs. There's people coming together. There's families. It's something I don't really know. Like, I've been to fan parks and I've experienced little things, but I've never experienced a World Cup game in that much like love. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And it's sold out. And I know. Go on.
No, go on. No, you go.
No, I was going to say it's sold out as well. I know the ticket prices are a joke. I still think the ticket prices are ridiculous. I still think they need to bring them down. I still think that's an issue. But every seat was taken inside. I was in the Levi Stadium. We can't really call it the Levi Stadium because they covered the branding, which was really weird. But I was lucky enough to be sat in the first row. Had amazing seats. The company paid for them, so I bigged them up. But like, they are expensive tickets, but it's amazing. Every seat was sold out. We're talking to the people next to us. We're talking to the people the other side of us about where they come from, why they're here, who they're supporting. Unbelievable, a sense of community. And I've been very lucky in my career. I've been in the Levi Stadium, and I've been on the big screen. I've worked inside, I've worked in the change rooms, I've worked around the actual pitch with CONCACAF, and then I've sat there as a fan, which I kind of took for granted, because I do these jobs so much. I go to these stadiums, the NRG, which I mentioned earlier, the AT&T Stadium, I've been to all of these. There's the Financial Field Stadium that's on right now. I've been there, but I've taken it for granted because I've just been like, oh, I'm working here, I'm working with a team. But when I'm sat there as a fan, my heart was just like, this is amazing, bro. Football is actually incredible. Like,
yeah, it's amazing.
It was amazing. It's indescribable.
Honestly, just being there yesterday with the Scotland and Haiti fans just basically going bar for bar, one chant for each, one chant, both getting involved in each other's songs, both swapping shirts, both having a proper party in like 30 degree heat. And then to watch Scotland at the World Cup with my uncle, who's Scottish, half my family obviously is Scottish, their first time in 28 years, and then they win as well. And it was packed. I mean, out of the 70,000, there must have genuinely been 69,990 Scotland fans. I mean, the rendition of Flower of Scotland will literally put goosebumps all over your body. It was just unbelievable. And they do just know how to do things over here. Everything's bigger. Everything's better. It's just, I can't believe how much fun it's been.
100%. I want to, before we go to a break, and I actually want to get your rant of the week, because there must be some. I must be one at least. You travelled a lot. You've been around. I know it's been beautiful. We've just done some glazing and some real, you know, giving the flowers to America and the World Cup. But there must be obviously something that's on your mind. But before I go to that, I want you to just take this in and think about this. Because me and Jack, who's the guy that I'm travelling with, he's a Leicester lad. He's a Leicester boy. Leicester through and through, goes home and away. Really nice lad doing a lot of the filming for me. He said, I actually said, imagine this in England. Like, you would have Brazilians, pockets of Brazilians, if they're playing in Leicester, in the King Power, just in Leicester, on a Tuesday, loads of them. Like, imagine in Manchester, there's Costa Ricans just, like, in the streets because they got a game at Old Trafford or they got a game at the Etihad. Like, not that I can't imagine that, because at some point we're going to have to host the World Cup, but it's like, imagine, I live in, like, in the country, I live in Surrey, like, in England. Like, I couldn't imagine freaking Ecuadorians just in my local.
Crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. But I'm from UK. I'm from the UK. Every day I wear the World Cup next. I walk around. I'm walking around in towns that I would never visit on holiday and be like, yeah, we're here for the World Cup. Where can I go watch the World Cup? Where can I get a drink? Where's the best place to eat? Like, it's mad. Imagine that in the UK. Imagine a load of these random nations, people just coming together in your local area. Like, it'd be sick.
It's just mental. It's just mental. Like walking around Boston yesterday, there's just bagpipes everywhere. Just people playing bagpipes on street corners, in parks. Everyone in kilts. Everyone in tartan. Just like, it's just unbelievable. Like, we have to say that the ticket prices are absolutely ludicrous. Like, completely ridiculous. And it's, yeah, it is a disgrace. But the World Cup itself, there's just something super, super special about it, isn't there? Just all people from all over the world coming together. And I'm here, obviously, for the England game, England-Croatia in 3 days' time. I'm hoping that the English fans bring the same vibes that the Scotland fans brought. I'm hoping there's not trouble. I'm hoping that we actually do ourselves proud for once on the international stage, because everyone's just up for a party. Everyone just wants to have a good time. And yeah, I mean, the last few days have just been unbelievable.
Been unbelievable. Have you been to a World Cup game? Sorry, did you say, yeah, obviously you've been to one already, but
I've never been to the World Cup. I went to the Euros final when we lost on penalties to Italy. And that's the only other international game I've ever been at.
Wow. That's mad. That is mad. And you're right. You're right to mention about England. Like, you hope there's no trouble or just in general. Like, there hasn't been so far. But like, I just watched the Japan game against Netherlands. And I'm like, again, they're renowned for cleaning up after they finish the game. And I'm like, if I was at that game, because a lot of neutral fans of nations go, like, I'm not a Qatari, I'm not a Swiss fan, but I was sat in there supporting world football in general. But if I was in that Japan end, and after the game they stay to clean up. I would feel obliged to do the same, and I hope, I don't know, I always feel like they set the example. I feel like more and more people should, and fans should, like, kind of take note of that sort of culture. Listen, it's not everyone's culture, but I respect how they respect the host nations and their stadiums. So something I just want to bring up as well. It's amazing. Incredible.
100%. Like, even just today, just being at Boston Airport, and obviously there's like thousands of flights going to all over, and you've just got like Brazilians who are just arriving, you've got Moroccans there who are going somewhere else, like just like all these little like pockets of people all in their club colours, all going to a different bit of America. Like, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
But okay, listen.
I do have a rant though.
Go on. Yeah, we're going to go to that now. Listen, after this, we're going to go to rant of the week. Here we go.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
And we're back. Right, Kim, so like you said, we've done a lot of love stuff, a lot of good news, a lot of enjoying the World Cup. This is a bit of a, it's not even a rogue VAR, you serious, but this is on the road VAR, you serious. So we've done a lot of loving of the World Cup, as much as there's been some controversies before, but it has been really good. But I know there's rants, because there's things that I have slightly grinded my gears whilst being here. But I'm always, like I said, I'm a positive being. There's a lot of things that I overlook, but there's some things I'm like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. But go on, Kim, you kick us off. You kick us off as the co-host.
Go on. I've got two. The first one is, I don't understand how it takes so long for them to get the bags off the plane. I don't understand how people themselves can get to the baggage reclaim like half an hour before the bags do. Is that not the easiest job in the world? You just put them on a thing and you just go straight there. I don't understand. I was waiting for 45 minutes. The AC was broken. It's about 34 degrees out there. And I was just waiting for my bag. Like, the efficiency of airports, we've discussed it before. That is one big rant.
Oh, yeah.
My second rant, I really, really, really hate the tipping culture here. Why do I have to pay for their wages? Why is the business owner not paying them properly? It doesn't make any sense. Why am I getting a beer? I'm going up to the bar. All you're doing is pouring me a pint, and then I'm taking it away, and I'm giving you like 25% more than the price, which is already extortionate. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. You're just doing your job. You should get paid for your job, and that is that. I'm fine with a little like 15% added on to the end of the bill. But when is every single thing that you buy a bottle of water from someone, it's like, oh, it's like $6, and then you've got to leave him like a $2, $3 tip. It's just crazy. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with. The baggage thing is annoying, but I can look past that. The tipping culture in this country, I actually tried to Google, where do you not tip in America? But it's literally almost everywhere. I'm just like, what? It is a frustration. And you pay so much more extra. Like, and like you said, some things are minor things. Like, I paid for a drink that I got myself, and you want me to now give you an extra for what? Actually, on the way here, we've got a taxi down to, we've got an Uber down to San Francisco, right? The Uber picked us up, Kim, and he went, oh, it's going to take an hour to get there because of traffic. So I look at him and I'm like, yeah, and he was like, I was like, bro, what do you mean, you've accepted the job? This is your job. He goes, yeah, but Uber takes so much of it, and, you know, petrol's high. So I'm looking at him like, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to make me cancel and get a new one? Are you trying to make me pay you? I don't get it. And then on the way up there, like, he was talking about how Uber takes so much and we don't really get left with stuff. And he goes, where are you guys from? I said, the UK. And he was like, oh, I hear about the UK. He's like, is it the same about Uber in the UK? I said, yeah, they take half the money and petrol's high in the UK. And he was like, what about a tip? And I said, we don't tip in the UK. And then he started to kind of like softly hint to me that he deserves a tip for taking the job, because he was thinking, we're from the UK, we're not going to tip in. And to be fair, my guy in the back, Jack, he booked on a company card. He texted me saying, we're not tipping him. And I was like, that is savage. But I was just like, you're so like, you're trying to push me to tip. And I'm like, bro, this is what you do. This is what Uber does. I couldn't believe it.
The thing is, it's not even their fault. It's the businesses who don't pay their employees properly. Like, it's mental that Uber is just an app and they take like 30%. That's crazy. It's also crazy that people are on hardly any money here, waitressing 12-hour days. And the only way that they get any money is through our tips. It doesn't really make any sense. I would rather, honestly, just to save the awkwardness and all of that, I'd rather just every single menu in America just add 20% to it. Add 20% to everything, and I'll just pay that and then just leave it. Because what you also get here, which you don't get in Britain, and I'm sorry that I'm quite a grumpy bloke, but you probably love this, is like fake nice waitressing. Like, I don't need that. I don't need you all chirpy at my face.
No, I don't like that.
I want a burger and chips and leave me in peace.
I get that. If you're having a bad day, have a bad day. Don't try and lie and act like that, you know, you love me and you're really engaged in my conversation just because you want a tip. I agree with that. I think it's just, and like you said, if you don't give them a tip, they give you attitude, especially at bars. Yeah. Like, it's like, bro, like, what the hell? Like, please.
What I will say is yesterday was slightly downfall because we were at the Scotland game. I'd finished filming all my content and I got on really well with this bartender. He was a lovely fella. And I kept on tipping him and I ordered two cocktails from him, one after the other. And they were genuinely the strongest drinks I've ever seen in my life. And I watched him make the second one, Cecil. And I know it was because I tipped him. But he genuinely poured like half of a pint of tequila into this drink. So by the time I got to the Scotland Haiti game, I was just like, 30 degree heat. This man had been plying me with booze. I was pretty worse for wear come kickoff. I'm not going to lie to you.
Good. You're enjoying yourself. I like that. All right. After this, we'll be doing Honesty Box. But I've got my rant of the week coming up right now, which is, so along the American theme, and rightly so, we did an American Fantasy 11 last week, I believe. And we're going to be doing another rant in the American theme, a World Cup theme. My rant is, why does everything have to be advertised or a break or promoted? They have hydration breaks. Hydration breaks that are sponsored and brought to you by who knows what, but they're sponsored. They have the walkout and the ceremony of every game sponsored and brought to you by who cares? They have the starting 11 of each game in the World Cup brought to you and sponsored by why the fuck is that sponsor? Oh, I have never seen nothing like it. Now, granted, brands pay our way. They give us money. They help us live. I hear it. But people, this is football. The hydration breaks, by the way, they're getting so mad. Like they're doing them, which is fine in the games, but sometimes in LA the other day, it wasn't even hot. But I didn't need a hydration break, but they've done it because of sponsorships, advertising. And then when they cut back to the actual game, sometimes the game's like, it's been playing for like a minute or two. I'm like, bro, you can't do this. You it's can't do it. If we give it a goal, there is going to be madness. You can't do this.
Firstly, that, so valid. It's ridiculous. But we knew that was what it was going to be like. You watch like Fox Sports over here. Every single second, the substitutes are sponsored. The substitution is brought to you by like the KFC substitution. What? What? The Budweiser king of the match. That makes me just feel so sick that I can't deal with that. So yeah, fair enough. We've given them their props, but they can't be having that. But I'll tell you what's even weirder. Talking of advertising in America, have you noticed how like on the billboards outside or on the roads, everything is advertised? Like everything.
Yeah.
Lawyers, hospitals are advertised, churches are advertised. Like the most random mental stuff, just like a massive like face of a man, like 20 foot tall. And it's like Johnson & Johnson solicitors. It's mental. Everything's so big here.
It's crazy. It's literally sponsorship everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. All right. Listen, we've got all this honesty stuff. Three questions. Straight after this, we'll be doing an honesty box. Kim will ask me three questions. I'll ask him three questions. If you don't do it, we're going to do the forfeit as a story. It'll be a story of the World Cup way. But yeah, honesty box. straight after this.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
All right, we're back. It's time for Honestly Box. I'll be honest, I haven't really thought. These questions will be weak. Forgive me, people. I feel like Kim has learned to be very honest from because of the reaction he got on his first time doing this and the questions and the forfeit. So I'm going to be very easy with the questioning because it's just going to be off the cuff. But yeah, I also feel like it's hard to get me as well because I told you lot in Ethiopia, I pretty much pooped myself. Well, I did. I pooped myself. So good luck in trying to get me to say anything mad. But Kim, let's start. I'll go first. First question. Have you ever pooed yourself? When was it and why? And what happened? Come on, then.
Have I ever shat myself?
Yeah. Why not?
Dude. I have the most chronic of IBS. There's not that many times where I'm not shitting myself. The worst one I've ever had by miles. This is actually one of those stories that makes me feel sad to tell. When City won the treble in that treble winning season, I went to every single game, including the FA Cup final. You know, Gundogan scored after about 51 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep. I shit myself celebrating so badly that I had to get an Uber back home, back to my house in Finsbury Park. And I missed the rest of the game.
At the game, you shat yourself.
At Wembley. And I had to leave. I left before half time.
Bro, I don't know. You're admitting this on. Bro, admitting that I'm the shot. Hugh, whoever's clipping, that is a mad story, bro.
It was the worst. It was honestly.
Did
one of
you
the
save
worst
for the whole game?
Life. No, I told you I left before half time.
Okay, good. Girl. I was gonna say because there's no way, bro. When I pooped myself in the elevator, I had to get out of that as quick as possible.
Oh, I had to get out of that and get changed quick. Did that last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's where the question came from. That's where the. I see. Yeah, it was terrible. Honestly, it was one of the worst moments of my life. That. Horrible.
That is a mad story, bro.
No, I had to go. I had to watch the second half at home.
That is messed up, bro.
But
at least you went home. At least you went. If you stayed in your poop just to watch like that, is a mad. That would have been. I probably would have looked at you in a different light. I'll be honest.
Yeah, that's.
I can't believe we're admitting on air that we pooed ourselves. And I know, when but, it I know,
but
anyway.
But the people like this show because it's the truth, and that's the truth.
That's true.
We're just two poopy blokes. So I've got a question for you.
Go on.
Do you drink? Because you always say on air, you always pretend that you don't drink, but I have been out with you and I know categorically that is an impossibility.
Well, depends what you mean. Define drink. I drink soft drinks, I drink apple juice, I drink squash.
Do you drink alcoholic beverages?
Beverages. I mean, sometimes, okay, the truth is. Yes, at times, only in certain times. Not regularly, firstly. And secondly, I don't really get drunk. But yes, because recently, alcohol has been agreeing with my belly as well. That's of recent. And also because of diarrhea reasons. So yeah, I do drink every now and then, just not a lot. But that's a good question. Kids. Drink responsibly.
Can I just ask part B of that question then? Why do you say on air that you don't? Is it for the brand?
I don't know. It's because all my life I've said I don't drink. And I don't really, I don't go out and say, let's go. I'm not, it's hard to explain. When we all, even yesterday we was out and people were drinking, do you want a drink? And I had lemonade. I'm like, nah, I don't really want one. But obviously if there's nice cocktails and you get me, I'll have a little sweet sign. But yeah, nah, I'm not really, I don't know. I don't know why I just don't really say. Because I don't do it regularly. I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm a drinker. Oh, I'll have a drink. Because I don't really do that. It's only just every now and then. Very on occasion. Next question. This is tough. You might not want to do this, Kim.
Go on.
What is your biggest argument with your partner? What was it about? That's a good one, isn't it?
Biggest argument was about 3 months in.
Yeah.
Really, really, really early on, we went on holiday together. It was such a bad holiday.
Yeah, okay, this is the truth. This is the fact.
It was way too quick to be going on holiday together. And she, when I was asleep, went through my phone and found messages from bearing in mind we'd only been dating for 3 months. So these were messages from 6 months ago from from another girl. And she was angry with me because I didn't delete messages from a past ex. And I'll be honest, the messages, obviously, they did include some sort of, some pictures and whatnot. But I just didn't know they were still on my phone. So I kicked off for her going through my phone. She kicked off for me not having deleted them. That was the biggest one we've had. We broke up on the flight.
Ooh.
Broke up at the airport, at Mallorca airport. And then we got back together on the flight. It was an absolute, it was a disaster holiday, honestly.
I think that's the truth. I think you're telling the truth because I think that might actually correlate with my biggest argument. So I believe you. I believe that. That's the truth.
I've got really, really horrible question to ask you.
No,
it might be too horrible. But I know I'm going to ask it anyway because I mean, it's not even horrible. I'm just intrigued. Do you think that your missus is cross at how little you're at home with how much work you do?
Oh, we've gone for relationships.
We have to. And that,
I know.
I wouldn't get away with the amount that you work. No way.
Do I think she's cross? Do you know what? Okay, again, this is an honest. This is an honest show. Maybe too honest, I'll be honest. I don't know any radio show that is this honest, but I'm supposed to be coming back. So obviously, people, if you kept up with the show, I've gone from Ethiopia, I've landed in the UK, I've been at home for about 16 hours max, repacked and flown straight to the States. I've also been told, being here, that as soon as I land back, I can go to Lion Cannes, which is, if you guys don't know what Lion Cannes is, it's an advertising festival. It's from the 23rd to the 26th of June. Obviously, I come back on the 24th in the morning, 5 a.m. So then I can then go to Lion Cannes with Robbie and go and enjoy myself in Cannes. I told my missus, she was like, do you just not, are you trying to just avoid me? I'm like, no way, it's work. But I don't think she liked me saying, you're going away again after being away for pretty much the whole month. But I kind of said, look, I was supposed to be away for the whole World Cup. Should not have said that. That sent her to, bro, that was not a good thing to say. So do I think she's crossed? I think if I don't go to Cannes, which I don't think I'm going, I kind of said, look, I'm going to miss this one. I've been doing a lot of traveling. So if I don't go to there, I booked Toy Story 5 for me and her and the little one and the baby because that will make her happy. I think if I do that, I'm good. I think she's not cross for with me. So she gets it. She's so supportive.
One trip to the cinema is worth 6 months away, is it? You've got an easy life there, pal.
Yeah, no, she's supportive. She's very, I wouldn't be where I am and this exuberant, happy and energy and all that without her being a backbone and allowing me to be me without giving me stress. So I don't think she gets cross. I just think sometimes I do. I know sometimes I push the boundaries a little bit because I'm like, well, I probably can. And then I realize, no, let me be careful. So yeah, but the Toy Story 5, I think I'll be good. Do that. And we're back on track. No more. I can't do Cannes, which is a shame, but I need to stay at home for a bit. Plus I have some other little World Cup watch alongs from home that I need to do, which will help me. It's all good. I don't mind. That was a good question, though. That was a good question. Maybe she is, and deep down, maybe she is a bit annoyed. I should sit down and have a little honesty box with her, actually. We should do honesty box with her. imagine. VAR, are you serious? Special guests. Both Kim and Cecil's partners. Honesty box.
Oh my God, that would be such a good job. Let's make that happen. Christmas special.
We should actually do that. I might get dumped, though, by the end of that. But no, we should do that. Right, next question. Oh, a bit of a philosophical, deep one. What's your biggest regret?
Whoa. That's a good question.
Come on, G.
regret. The thing is, a lot of things that I've done that I would regret, like getting a football banning order, kind of changed who I was and made me into a better person. So it's like, I can't really regret that very much.
Good.
I think, do you know what? I think in my first relationship,
yeah,
the first proper girlfriend at uni, I think I definitely could have been nicer.
That could have been what?
I could have been a lot nicer. Okay, fair. I think I was just a bit too young to try and have a relationship. Fair. Like 18 years old, just moved to uni. I just don't feel like I was my best version of myself. So I regret maybe not being the nicest that I could be in that relationship, I reckon.
That's good self-awareness. That's very mature of you.
I reckon, yeah.
I think a lot of males, can't generalize everyone, but I'm sure a lot of male or men have that same regret in some capacity back when they were young and just enjoying life, I guess.
You just don't know anything, do you?
Yeah, you're finding things out and you're learning things. I think, you know, I don't know, if you have a male figure in your life, maybe a bit different, but I definitely didn't have that as well. But yeah, interesting, quite deep. Anyway, biggest regret, I like one. All right,
I'll tell you another thing I regret. He's not booking an Airbnb with better air conditioning. Jesus Christ. I'm fucking roasting in here.
Bro, you're in Texas, bro. It's going to be warm. It's going to be warm the whole time.
I know.
It's going to be really warm.
Mate, honestly, I was so starstruck. Like, I don't know why. Like, I'm not even one of these people. You know, like, you get a lot of British blokes who just like love America and they're so gassed by America.
Yeah.
I'm not really one of those blokes anyway. But just like, there's just something about Texas, like just getting off the plane and being in Texas. I was like, this is mental.
Unreal.
I went outside, there was a pickup truck that was genuinely could have been a school bus. I was like, there's no need for something that big, but you've got it. I'm going to get some barbecue in a bit. It's just, it hits different.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, final question then.
Go on.
Honesty box.
That'd be easy. Do a nice one.
It's an interesting one, I think. You get paid quite well. You're very, very successful at what you do. You've been to a lot of countries in your time, through football, through all of that.
Yep.
What have you really not enjoyed? Where have you not really not enjoyed?
Oh, mate.
This is you where it hurts, because you don't really want to tell the truth in case you get invited back there, but...
And I will get invited back.
No, no, no.
Do you know what? But it's not, no, no, no. It's not that it's a shithole country. That's not it. It's the experience that I would have had somewhere that I wouldn't have enjoyed. I'm trying to think of which one exactly. I know Hong Kong's in there for me. Not to say it's a shithole, because it was a lovely time, but I was kind of done with the pre-season tour. I went to Singapore, then went to Hong Kong. Hong Kong was a little bit just more humid. There wasn't really much to do. So that's up there. When I went to Sardinia, obviously in Italy, I filmed The Little Mermaid there, but they were actively putting up signs around Sardinia to basically say they were racist, or get out. If you're not from here, leave. Like, because we had a whole cast of like eccentric people and people that are very proud about what they are, the locals obviously really didn't like that. But I had such a good time in Sardinia because I filmed The Little Mermaid, and I literally had one of the best holidays ever, and was being paid a lot of money to be there. That it kind of overshadowed that. Mm. But that was the worst place, is probably somewhere where you're not wanted. And yeah, that's good. That's a good question, though.
There we go.
That's a great question.
There we go. We were very truthful there. I think we need to be more horrible to each other next week.
No,
I need to get you put in a story up. You saw the reaction to mine.
Yeah, I know. But Kim, bro, my missus hates it about me. She was like, why do you tell people how much you're getting for that? Why do you tell people this? Why do you tell people? I told so many people I pooed myself. I said on AFTV, they were like, why are you doing it? I said, bro, I don't care. Before we get to the end of today's show, let's discuss players of the tournament, or the team of the tournament, or who you think is going to be the player of the tournament. I want to flex some ball knowledge here. This is a VAR You Serious football show. As much as we don't always talk about football, I have knowledge.
In goal, for example, Morocco's keeper Bono is just going to have a mad tournament because he's unbelievably good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's unbelievably good. He's so good every single time Morocco play. I think he plays for Sevilla as well. He's just a joke, isn't he? He's so big and quick and agile and athletic. I'm amazed that he hasn't gone to a bigger team. I think Real Madrid wanted him after the last World Cup, after Qatar. Yeah. But yeah, he ended up not going. He for me, is the pick there.
That's interesting. And because I was going to say, the fullbacks for Morocco are very good. Hakimi and Mazraoui as well were like, they were very good. They were very, very good. I know.
They've got a good team, haven't they?
Huh?
They've got a genuinely good team.
A very well-balanced team. And the thing is, Hakimi was not neutralised, but he couldn't. Brazil was smart to put Vinny, like, I said, I don't know why Vinny doesn't swap sides, but then they would realise that Hakimi, like, his strength is getting forward. But if Vinny leaves the side that Hakimi's on, then Hakimi has to worry about Vinny, so Vinny couldn't really swap sides, because that's what's pinning him back. If Vinny went to the other side, then Hakimi can have a license to go forward and do what he normally does and invert. So I think those fullbacks for Morocco are very, very integral. So that's a good point. Their goalkeeper and their fullbacks. They got, like you said, a balanced team. Now that's a good start. Centre back wise, though, or like the defenders, who's been a rock? Who's been someone to sit out at the back?
I'm trying to think of who would be a surprise. Who would actually be a surprise? Is there any young talent who's coming through? Oh. I think Van Dijk, we always know he's going to be amazing, isn't he? He just scored today. I don't think that's particularly surprising.
Gabriel was a bit shaky for Brazil, you know. I don't know if he's playing for injury or not, but Gabriel Magalhães, I'm not putting him forward. I'm just saying I was quite surprised with, he wasn't like up to his level that I wanted to see, but someone I want to bring up. Defensively,
it's weird, that Brazil team.
Yeah, it is.
It's an odd team, isn't it? It's like, it's kind of got quite a lot of average players. There's a few people who are amazing, obviously, like Vinny's amazing. I think Endrick's amazing, you know, if he plays. But there's not that. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit championship compared to the teams that they've had in the past.
Yesterday we were saying this. It's not a great team. I thought it was. But like you said, there's Vinny, there's Bruno Guimarães, maybe even Igor Thiago's not. He weren't playing great, even though he had such a great club campaign. Like, they haven't got, like, I know Neymar's not there. I know he was there, but he wasn't in the squad. Like, they haven't really, they're not as scary as I thought they'll be up there to potentially win this thing, by the way. I watched them the other day, yesterday, and I said they were awful. They're awful.
But I'll tell you one thing, though. No one ever wins the World Cup playing well the whole way through.
Yeah, true.
Do you remember Argentina? They lost. Almost didn't get out of their group in Qatar. They lost, lost to Saudi Arabia. So it does work like that sometimes. I think they've got a tough group, though. I mean, Haiti looked okay against Scotland. It wasn't really much of a game, but I don't know what that Brazil-Scotland game will be like. If Brazil don't win there, there's a very real chance that they could go out of the group stage.
Yeah. I will mention, though, Qatar versus Switzerland. Akanji was good. I liked him. I don't think Switzerland were good at all in that game, but he always looked like the player was trying to run in behind him, the Qatari, and maybe, listen, it's because of the quality of him. He was literally just moving him out of the way, like, bro, don't come anywhere near me. You're not going to get any change from me. And he just bullied him. So I'm going to put Kanji there. It hurts me because you're a City fan. He's ex-City. But I'll give it to Kanji. Let's just say what.
He's good. He's really good. I mean, he was our treble winning centre-back. He went to Inter Milan. He's just won the league there. He's a really, really good player. And we got him for like 20 million as well. That was an absolute steal.
Yeah.
He's a top quality player.
All right.
Midfielders, I am convinced that Elliot Anderson, I know he's not really a breakout star because City obviously want to get him for 120 million or something insane, but I do just feel like this definitely is his World Cup.
Yeah,
I think he starts every game. And I feel like there's always one player for England who's just unbelievable in the tournament, and I feel like it's going to be him.
Okay, we'll run through midfielders, breakout. I want to say I like Elliot Anderson. I like John McGinn. I mean, he's not a breakout, but I just feel like he relishes these big tournaments. It's not a breakout. For me, the breakout is obviously Gilberto Mora, Mexico, 17-year-old, the youngest player in the World Cup, I believe. So for me, he's a phenomenal talent. Keep an eye on him. So that's...
Just talking of John McGinn, can you see that there?
Yeah.
I've got a massive scar on my eye, for people who can't see, or for this, it's not going to be a social clip. From celebrating John McGinn's goal yesterday, I went about three rows in front of me, hit my head on the corner of a seat, I think it was, and now I'm probably going to have a black eye tomorrow.
You're not even Scottish, bro. What's going on? Again.
What's that?
Are you not, you're not Scottish and you're celebrating that mad?
My family, I'm just as Scottish as I'm English.
Oh, you got Scottish in you. Oh, my days. I didn't know.
Yeah, of course, I was with my Scottish uncle yesterday.
Actually, I've seen you in a
kilt. I was the only person around apart from some of the players like McTominay with an English accent. But I was welcomed so nicely by all of the Scotland fans. Honestly, the vibes are just incredible.
I love that. All right, let's end with breakout attacker then. Someone's get or one to watch up front. Or the attacking or wing, whoever. Wing, attack.
Got to be Endrick, hasn't it?
Endrick didn't even start, bro, for the Brazil game.
I don't understand why. He came on the other day and he scored an absolute belter.
I know.
I don't know why he's not starting.
He wasn't even starting, bro. I don't really know who the... Who's that guy that everyone's talking about? Oh, we're linked to him. I think he's from... Is he Moroccan as well? We're linked to a... People know in the comments. There's a player that Arsenal are linked to. He's taken all the headlines. They're saying 70 million. He's a youngster. I think it is...
He's from Morocco, isn't he?
I think he's Moroccan.
Let's give it a quick...
Anyway, that'll come to me. But, okay, you've got Endrick. I'm going to go... Oh, this is tough. Attackers. I mean, I'm excited to see Lamine Yamal. It's not a breakout again. He's done it all before, but like, I don't know if he'll be the one that does really stake his claim in being a World Cup superstar.
He's really got to, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has to.
These are the tournaments where you get to that next level.
The two attackers I'm looking at, I'm sorry to people that are listening, that's not a breakout, but it's Lamine Yamal, and I'm looking at Elise, you know. I think Elise could do an absolute... If he does a madness, I think he could be spoken about in a completely different light come the end of the tournament. So
he is an absolute joke. He is ridiculous.
If he plays the way he plays for his club in the World Cup, it's going to be an amazing scene. So those are the two. Those are our people or our players that we'll be looking at, ones to watch, slight breakouts as well. It'd be interesting to know your thoughts around that as well, people that are listening in. We are going to bring today's show to a close. That is VAR, Are You Serious? Brought to you by Food My Radio. This is the World Cup edition special. You get me? We are all over.
Just quickly.
Go.
Tell us what you got planned then for the next week.
Next
week. Until you go back to England.
Okay, so tomorrow I fly to Detroit. I go straight into quite a chilled week. But I've booked a lot of own sponsorship deals throughout the week that I have to cover, just whether that's watch-alongs and whatnot. But my main... work is on Friday. There's a watch party for the next USA game. I'll be doing a watch party, doing content at the watch party and doing a bit of hosting there. I leave that watch party and go straight to the airport to fly then to New York, then go to Brooklyn. And then the game is on the Saturday. So I fly Friday. There's another game on the Saturday. It's not a US game. It's a different game, but we're doing a watch party there. I'll be doing content there. And then I have 2 to 3 days to basically enjoy. I'm going to go to the ITV studios and see one of my friends. I want to see that big, beautiful studio that overlooks New York. I have a few friends.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, I have a few friends at ITV, so I'm going to try and get a little tour, do a little bit there, and then I'm going to head over to New York and just enjoy the rest of my time in probably Manhattan and the fan parks. So that's me. Kim, before you go, give us what you're doing, just before you end, before you fly back.
In Dallas now for 4 days, going to watch the England game here. Then fly back to Boston the day after that. Then they've got the Scotland second game and England second game in Boston. Then getting the train to New York, where my missus is going to come and meet me for England Panama. And then on the 30th of June, I will be heading back to England.
Okay. I'll be honest. That sounds very, very good. Better than mine. Who'd you rather take? What track would you rather have? The Cecil G track or the Kim track? I'm a bit annoyed because I thought I was on for a good week, but I think Kim's just outdone me. That's kind of annoyed me, but that's fine. I have love in my heart. Big up both of us because we're out in America, which is a dream in itself. Thank you all for listening. This is VAR, Are You Serious on Fubar Radio. Take care. Love.
VAR, You Serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.